So tell me why the tribes, yours included, are asking President Obama to protect this land.
Well, I think for Navajo Nation, we have historical and archaeological treasures that pertain specifically to the Bear Ears area.
How long has this been going on there?
I believe it's been going on for several years. I can't say exactly how many years, but I am aware that when I became aware, it was about 5 or 6 years ago when I became aware that there was an interest regarding the designation being discussed. And that was my first term in office, the 22nd council, and that's when I learned from the representative from that area that shared with me that they were having some discussions, but he didn't share the details. So I didn't really know the details until quite some time after that.
Okay, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but under the Antiquities Act, the land could only be protected if it's designated a national monument, correct?
It can be done under the Antiquities Act, or it can be done by Congress as well.
Okay.
But I think the Antiquities Act, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Phelps.
Go ahead. Finish your question. I'm not sure what
okay.
your question
well,
is.
My question is, can the president do this unilaterally?
Well, I think he does have that privilege with the Antiquities Act, and he's former presidents have done this in the past. There's been hundreds of designations that have been made by previous presidents in different locations throughout the nation.
Okay. And if this has been going on for years, why is it only now being asked of the president to protect the land?
Well, I think he has more than one request before him. I'm sure he has multiple requests to recognize and establish national monuments throughout the nation, and the Bear Ears area is one of them. So I know over here in northern Arizona, we also have one in our area near the Grand Canyon that some folk are also pursuing to see if the president could also make that a national monument as well.
Okay. What is it about the Bear Ears area that warrants it becoming a national monument?
Well, I think historically, one of our great chiefs was born there. That's his birthplace, Chief Manuelito. And he was one of the most significant, outstanding chiefs during the same time when the Indian Wars were being fought in the mid to late 1800s. Hope that noise is not interfering with you here.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. It's all right.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Okay. I think the historical aspect is there. From an archaeological standpoint, there is hundreds of archaeological sites within the Bear Ears designated proposed area that pertains to more than just Navajo Nation. It pertains to the Ute tribes, the Pueblo tribes, and the Apache tribes. And so I think collectively there is very strong interest because of the archaeological significance of those sites as well.
And so are you hopeful, are you confident that the president will agree to do this?
Well, I think the area certainly meets the criteria for the president to definitely take this into consideration on a more serious level. may be compared to other sites which may not have the same level of significance. So it's very possible that the president could, you know, could decide to select the Bear Ears and designate it as a national monument, yes.
What would happen if the president doesn't?
If the president doesn't designate it and he leaves office in January, then the interests of the tribes would continue in working with whoever becomes the next president to, again, help them appreciate that this is a very strong interest of the different tribal nations to pursue the Bear Ears designation.
Do you know who owns this land? Is it federal land? Is it tribal land?
No. No, meaning that the tribes don't, we don't have any ownership in those lands. Basically, the lands are private lands, Forest Service lands, Park Service lands, BLM lands, and possibly some state lands as well.
Okay, so of the 1.9 million acres that you're asking be incorporated into this national monument, how much of that is private land?
I really don't know. I don't have the specific breakdowns before me, so I don't know that answer.
Okay, then let's just assume that some of it is private land. Why should that be seized? Why couldn't just the rest of what's public land within this area be designated a monument in order to preserve it rather than seizing private land to do it?
Well, I think the interest and the justification that needs to be included in those considerations, one is basically to designate a whole, you know, area. And so in saying that, there, you know, let's just say if there was an island, an acre or two within those areas that was private land, and the whole area needed to be designated, I think it would be best in the best interest to designate the whole area. Whereas the other justifications would be if it's part of areas that are deemed to be, you know, traditional or cultural significance or archaeological significance, then I think there's no question that they need to be designated as well.
Okay. I'm wondering, too, though, you know, there's a lot of talk about how the tribes have benefited from financially from things like casinos and mining royalties and other things like that. And one wonders why you all just couldn't buy this land yourselves and protect it yourselves.
I don't think that there's an interest at that level. As far as I think the opportunities that the tribes have agreed to work on is basically a national monument designation. That's what they're looking at.
Well, I understand that because that's the preferable choice. I understand that, but I'm just saying, let's say, well, if I don't know, there are just some people that think that maybe that there's an opportunity here for the tribes to, I don't know, for whatever, for lack of a better phrase, put their money where their mouths are and do this for themselves rather than, you know, taking this land away from you know, the federal government, state governments, whatever. You know, I just think some people might look at this as, you know, as that there needs to be I don't know, some investment here. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I guess my response to your question would be, the designation will be designation either way. You know,
right.
It'll be a designation of a mass area of land that can be protected and preserved, and hopefully protected from disturbance, and it can where all the valuable things can be preserved and protected. So either way, even if what you were suggesting was possible, it would still have the same outcome.
Well, exactly. But one would be more of a privately led, you know, effort as opposed to, you know, a federal government, you know, one might call land grab from the current owners. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that what you're saying is that, are you saying that there would be less opposition from the powers that be? I don't think there would be. Less opposition.
Well, I'm wondering how there could be any opposition. I mean, if I want to buy a piece of land,
no,
you're still taking
a large footprint of land from the state and saying, okay, we're going to designate this as a national monument. So it would have the same effect in the end. So why would there not be opposition like there is right now?
I don't know. You know, I was unaware of the Bear Ears area before this phone call, to be perfectly honest with you, before this was told to me. So that's a very good question. I don't know. I just know that there are a lot of people that, especially in Arizona, that are trying to wrest control of federally owned lands away from the feds, saying that they shouldn't even have them because it's unconstitutional. And I'm thinking that there are people that would have less opposition to this project if it were funded, if instead of just the feds arbitrarily deciding, okay, this is, you know, sacred land and this is land that, you know, has antiquities on it, so we're just going to remove it ourselves and there's nothing that anybody can do about that. There would be less opposition instead to the tribes purchasing the land and then it became, you know, tribally owned land, and you would then be able to, you know, no one could go on there and do anything to it because it would be yours and not theirs. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense at all to me.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't see your point when you say that this is unconstitutional. I don't know where your reasoning for that is coming from, because if what you're saying is true, then when the federal government and when the states were moving across from the east to the west and taking territories and lands that originally belonged to the indigenous people, you know, what was constitutional then?
Exactly. That's kind of where I was hoping we'd go here. That's what I was looking for, was the fact that the tribes believe that this land is theirs and that this land should be protected because it's your land and that it's not, you know, it's not for others to develop. Right?
I would agree with you, yes. I think you have a point there. And I think
that's where I was hoping we'd
go. Because of the value that the tribes have historically, archaeologically, and you know, from a cultural perspective, because of the value that it holds for them, you know, it's why they're so committed to seeing this piece of property designated as a national monument.
Excellent. Is there anything else about this effort on the part of the tribes to persuade the president and Congress to set this land aside that you think is important that we haven't talked about?
Well, I think at the end of the day, the federal agencies that will be designated to facilitate the management, they have to they have to be willing to work with the nations, the tribes. They have to really work with the tribes to make the management work. And I think the tribes are in a position to say, yes, we're here, we want to work with you. And so that, you know, when the land is designated, that the tribes will have a strong seat at the table. So, and then, you know, they're a stakeholder in the way that the policies and the management is carried out after that.
Excellent, Mr. Phelps. Thank you so much for spending time with me and explaining some of this to me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, John.